Okay, in the name of Jesus, we continue to study 2 Thessalonians. So this is all we are going to study chapter 1. Verse by verse, and we try to find out the teachings. Okay. So I believe you two have a handout for chapter 1. So the objective, the chapters, this chapter, to note the virtues that demonstrate the spiritual growth and the development of the church at Thessalonica. Because Paul, he established the church, but actually God made it grow. So the church is at the hand of Lord Jesus Christ. So because of their faith, and they grow continually, Paul, he boasts for their faith and love and hope. So they become a good example to others. And also in this chapter, Paul also mentioned about what will happen when Jesus come again, and upon whom his vengeance will fall. Because when Jesus returns to this world, he is not going to give grace anymore. He is going to judge everybody. So in his return, he will come in just like a judge. Very justice and a just judge to give everybody either a reward or punishment, eternal punishment. So we have to present ourselves all we have done in this life to Jesus again. So if we can endure for the persecution or tribulation for the sake of Jesus, we will be rewarded. But if we do wickedly, then he will repay us to give us what we're supposed to receive. Okay, so in our concept, what do you think about timing? Right now it's 2015. So once the time passes, there is no way to return, to reverse it, right? But is it true? Will we review what we have done before? We cannot reverse the time. We set the time again or reverse the year of 2013 or 2010, right? We cannot. But once we pass, then we left our footprint on it. Even though we cannot reverse the time, but at the end, when Jesus returns, when we present ourselves in front of his throne, our past will be represented again. Jesus, he will put us in front of our past to see what we have done before. So nobody have excuse say, I don't know. I don't know what I have done. I forgot. Before Jesus judges us, he will give us the evidence what we have done. So nobody have excuse say, sorry, you make a mistake, right? So our life, we don't know how long our length will be. But basically, according to the Bible, everything will be in front of us clearly. So remember, what we have done in this life, in the future, Jesus will present it to us again. So just don't let our life have anything you feel so regretted. Every step, every day is very important. So if today or in the past you ever see any dirty things, you have done something wrong, even though nobody knows, but God knows. Okay, you know. In the future, you will be revealed again in front of his judgment seat. So always remember this concept. Okay. So in this chapter 1, Paul, he, as usual, he always salute, greet the members first. So chapter verse 1 to 2 is a salutation. From verse 3 to 4, he mentioned of his obligation to always thank God for the growth of their faith and the way their love around toward one another. So in verse 3, Paul, he said, we are bound to thank God always for you. So this a demonstration of a faithful worker always remember the church. And what make Paul to specially give thanksgiving for them? What is the point for him to give thanks? Is their faith, right? So in verse 3, because of your faith grows exceedingly, and your love, the love of every one of you, all toward to each other, abundant. So we can see, actually, if we have ever heard anything good from our brothers and sisters, we always remember their faith. If they have a good example to encourage others, the most impressive way is how they have trust in God, how they rely on God to overcome their difficulties, right? So that's why we heard testimony. Others' testimony, their example, how they overcome all the difficulty. Through what? Not through their own ability, through their faith in Jesus Christ. And what make a person's testimony so touched and so moved and can really move others? Because love. We can boast our ability, but people just don't get it because this is yours. What is this your ability to me? Right? But love can really touch others. So that's why Paul, he gives thanks to God for the Thessalonians because of their faith, their love. Okay, and in verse 4, again, he emphasized. So we worker boast of you among the churches of God for your, in verse 4, patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations you endure. Paul, he cared about the churches. He understand the persecution is continuing. That's why Paul, he fled for his life. He left because he came in to preach, right? And people believe. He was so grateful about this work. But because of this difficulty, he had to move on for next stop. Because this is what he's supposed to do. Go to everywhere to preach the gospel. If this place people don't accept Then, according to the instruction of Jesus, he just moved to another place, right? So he just followed the guidance of Holy Spirit. But the members, the believers, they in the local, they have to endure. So that's why our faith actually is our own thing. It's your decision whether you want to believe. But so to face the persecution, what is your choice? You can either just like Paul, I move, right? I relocate my place to other country. But at that time, it seems very difficult. No? Or you decide to stay in this place, and then you just to endure, be patient, rely on Jesus to overcome this persecution, because this could be every day's matter. So what made the Thessalonians decide to stay and remain on the faith? They have to rely on Jesus. Every day pray. Right? It's so real to them. But God always opened a way for them. So that's why even in the tribulation, they experience God's grace. Because in Second Corinthians chapter 12, there is a verse. Do you remember? When we are weak, this is the time we rely on Jesus even more, right? So God's grace is abundant, is sufficient for our weakness. So this is how Paul glorified their faith, their patience, their endurance. So tribulation actually is very important to train or to purify our faith. Let's look at the First Thessalonians chapter 1. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Okay. So usually when we study the Thessalonians, together the first episode and the second episode, because they are related. These two episodes, you know, has been written about the same time. Maybe it's just separate about months only. So they are in the similar background. So here he said, I remember without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope. And knowing, brother, you are election of God. We are elected by God. So God chooses us for what? For testimony. God chooses us to reveal His glory. His love can change, can remold a person. So the Gentiles or non-believers, they can see the witness how the gospel can reform a person. So in nowadays, the same thing. Many brothers and sisters, they came to believe in Jesus, in TJC. Their life changing. They become like a new being. Their behavior or their their life amazed so many friends. So hopefully we can also become a testimony of this gospel. Okay. And in chapter 1, verse 5, please read it. 5 and 6. No. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Thank you. Here, Paul, he mentioned about how the gospel has been preached to the Thessalonians, right? So what are the components or elements in this preaching? The first is the word, right? So in verse 5, in verse 5, the gospel came not to you in word only. But word is important. This message is the key. Right? But also in power. Oh, in power. So miracle and wonders must accompany to prove the truth is from Jesus. It's the heavenly truth. And then the Holy Spirit. So that's why if someone came to listen to the truth, they come to the church to worship. Once they receive the Holy Spirit, many doubts just freed away. Because Holy Spirit just make everything so sense about, oh yes, we worship, we pray in the Spirit. It's different what we pray in understanding. So we cannot reason everything through our logical thinking. We have to really transcend this world to see things beyond what we can understand. Sometimes we cannot get it right now, but through the Holy Spirit, we can see what's the meaning. Okay. So number 3 is the Holy Spirit. Number 4, the faith, right? And in much assurance, as you know, what manner men we are among you for your sake. Okay? So, the preacher, the one who preached the gospel, also is the key. So if we want to preach the gospel to our friends, not just, oh, you want to invite your friends come to the church to study Bible with them. Yeah, this is important, but the most critical element is how you behave in front of your friends. So if we have faith, if we really, as a godly person, we care about our faith, care about Jesus Christ, then your friend will notice, yes, you are different. You insist so much to keep God's commandment, right? So what we have to live out what we say is the more important thing. Okay? So in verse 6, he mentioned about the joy, the joy of the Holy Spirit. Even though you receive a lot of afflictions, but they can still stand firm. So that's why Paul, in the second episode, he said, we boast, we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience. So that become a good example to others. Yeah. Actually, this church has been established in short period of time, yes. Maybe within 1 year, the church established, and their faith so strong. They can endure all the tribulation. So right now, you compare what, when a true seeker convert themselves to the church, usually how long will it take for them to really have faith, can stand firm in the church, understand our best doctrine, or they can participate in serving, in servitude. How many years may it take? It takes years, maybe 2 years, 3 years. Someone may even take longer. But usually 3 years is the, if a true seeker or newly baptized member continue to come to the attendance service, within 3 years, their faith will grow. You can see they are different. They're changing. But if they stop coming to worship on Sabbath, or not regularly come to worship every week, maybe just once a month, or once they have a convenient time, then they come to the church. Even though for 5 years they are still very weak, okay. So it's the faith is how we cultivate ourselves. If we really want it, we really have interest to learn what God said in the Bible, then we put effort. We want to listen to the sermon. Then we grow very fast. So some member may just read the Bible once. Within 3 months, I saw a member, a newly baptized member. He has so interest in the Bible. So within 3 months, he finished the whole Bible once already. Because he just put all the effort. Once he had free time, he read the Bible. He wanted to review what God said and what is God's instruction to him for his life. So every moment, if we have time, then because he has a goal, so he wanted to do it, right? So you can do it. But it just depends on whether you want to know it or not. Sometimes we treat it, it's so boring. You know, once you read it to certain chapters or certain books, you just cannot get it. But sometimes you just read it. It doesn't matter. You go through it, and later you will review it. You know what the Bible says. Okay? So turn back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. From verse 5 to verse 10. This encouragement in trial in view of Christ's return. Paul, he specially encouraged them. Endure this tribulation. Even though someone comes to persecute you, you hold on your faith. Because one day, Jesus will return. And to do something for you. So that's why Jesus, or Paul, he always mentioned to the member, even to the Romans. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 17. 17 to 21. Amen. So, this is encouragement, right? Sometimes it's so difficult to do. You have to show love. Say, in verse 20, huh? If your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Sometimes we consider if I don't avenge, it's good enough. How come I have to show even more? Right? We are so hesitant to do even more because in our flesh, we don't want to treat people good to those who oppose, you know, against us. You know. But this is what this truth asks every believer to change their way. So that's why in the church we cannot have anyone say, it's my enemy. No. In the church, everyone should be our brothers and sisters. So I believe here he mentioned about these things about enemy is non-believers. Those persecutors. Oh, because in the apostolic time, so many Gentiles or non-Christians, they really want to put Christians to death. Oh, just like the ISIS nowadays. They want to destroy all the Christians. They just want to be firm to their faith because they believe their faith is the only. They cannot endure others to believe in different God. But to us, why we can say here in verse 21, say, do not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What is the thought to behave such a different way? Because we know Jesus, he is going to judge. So turn back to first, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 6 say, God is the righteous. It is a righteous thing with God to do things, right? So judgment will occur when Jesus is revealed from heaven. In verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. So the encouragement in this segment, we can see your persecution are evidence of God's righteous judgment to come, in which you shall be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Second, in which God will repay with tribulation those who trouble you. So this is in verse 6, right? Then in verse 7, in which you will receive rest. Huh? You will receive rest with us. So verse 7, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So when Jesus returns, three things. In here, he will take care of things here. We count as worthy of his kingdom. So this one, what is so-called worthy of his kingdom? Now God will repay with tribulation to those who trouble you. So those wicked will be punished. Then we receive rest with Paul. So with saints, all the saints, they receive peace. Just like apostles. 12 apostles, most of them, actually they are persecuted to death. No? Only John, Apostle John, can live until his old age. you know. But they have peace in heart. Right? So they don't complain to God, how come you let me die in this way? No. We can see how peaceful they are. No? So this is in the encouragement. The second thing, such judgment will occur when Jesus is revealed from heaven. So with his almighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance to whom? In verse 7 and verse 8, special to verse 8, right? To those who do not know God. So the final judgment we will see, if they don't believe God, they don't know it, then they have paid the price. They have to receive the punishment. And those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we receive the word, we heard, we know it, but we don't obey it, then yes, we have to also pay the price. So if you care about the judgment, the final judgment, then we also have to obey it. Obey Jesus, obey the Bible. Let's turn to one verse. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John 12. Gospel John 12. Let's turn to 12. Chapter 12, verse 48. Please read. Amen. So the word which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So if we preach the right gospel to our friends, if they eventually they reject it, then they have no excuse. I don't hear the gospel before. Right? So that's why we preach. Then when the last day comes, your friend may have no excuse to say, oh, because my friend who is a TJC member, he didn't preach to me, so I don't know. But if you preach to him, he don't accept. That's become his responsibility. But if we don't say it, then we also may find some uneasy when people accuse us, say, how come you don't mention about the gospel to me? If you mention it, I may just come believe, right? So we better say it before. So on that day, we will not regret, we will not be so uneasy, say, oh yes, I forgot. Oh. Okay, so this is what the Bible mentioned. His word, his gospel will judge you. Okay. So regarding to this final judgment, turn back to the chapter 1, verse 9. Jesus punishment. Actually, this is called everlasting destruction. What is that? From the prison of the Lord. So God will turn his face aside. He will turn his back to you. From the glory, his power. Right? So people cannot experience any power of Jesus, of God. Because this final judgment, this so-called everlasting destruction, is a place total darkness, no light, means no God, right? Because God is light. Okay? No love. And in verse 10, he said, this is when Jesus come on that day. And Jesus also has a purpose. Besides the punishment, to those who can be saved, he wants to receive glory in his saints. And Jesus wants to be admired among all those who believe. So because our testimony among you are believed, that's why Thessalonians, they believe what Paul said, right? Now, they have to also admire Jesus, Lord Jesus, he is our Savior, to be admired among all those who believe. Because they don't see Jesus physically, huh? Just like us. Nowadays, we never see Jesus physically, right? But Apostle John, Apostle Peter, they saw it, the physical form of Jesus. But have we ever admired of Jesus Christ? Even though he is so lowly, he has no good appearance for us to look at the second time. But do we admire about his spirituality, his spiritual beauty? We have to actually see it through Bible, through how apostle they preach the gospel about Lord Jesus Christ. That's why in the book of Romans, the gospel is talking about Lord Jesus Christ. We have to really understand his beauty and know his word. Okay, so this is the encouragement from Paul in chapter 1. And finally, he makes a prayer. In prayer. So in verse 11, we pray always for you that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. So God would count you worthy of his calling. So meaning we fulfill what God wants us to accomplish in our life. Right? So-called worthy is we receive blessings. In this blessing may come in the form of tribulation or persecution. But eventually we will be glorified. We will be we accept into his kingdom. So this is called the worthy. Because people persecute Christians before they persecute us, they already had Jesus. They persecute Jesus, just like how Jesus, when he shined a great light to Paul, he mentioned, Paul, Saul, why are you persecuting me, right? Okay, and then God will fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. So we will see how glorious it will be. And that according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. So we do things in the name of Jesus. So people, eventually they can understand this is not us, not our own ability, but because of Jesus. So we give all the glory to Jesus. And he said that you may be glorified in him. So we will receive glory with Jesus Christ. Okay, so this is the chapter 1. No? Chapter 1. Okay, let's review this chapter. Can you make it okay? Can someone turn off the light?
or make it bigger, larger.
Okay. What are the three kinds of trouble for the member and the church of the end time? At the end time, even I have difficulty to view it. Okay, what is the number one? What are the three kinds of trouble for the member and the church at the end time? It is in chapter 1. Actually, this is in the not the chapter 1. This is in the introduction. Let's jump to number 2. Okay. What is Paul acknowledging as having occurred in Thessalonians from verse 1, verse 3? What might have prepared them for times of persecution? From verse 3, huh? What might have prepared them for time of persecution? What is two key virtues? Call someone. Kim, Joshua. Yes. In verse 3. Faith and love. Okay, so answer. Okay, so their personal faith has grown as well as their love for each other. Okay, so we prepare ourselves to face the persecution through to increase our faith, to cultivate, to practice the love. It's very important. Without these two elements, we cannot endure. Okay, number 3. What are the key virtues that the Thessalonians possess to overcome the persecutions and tribulations? From verse 4. What are the key virtues? Okay. Anyone? Samuel. Jen. Say it loud. Patience and faith. Okay. Endurance. Okay. That answer. Patience, faith, and then endure. So endurance is important. Endurance. So that's why we have to cultivate ourselves. Also try to learn how to be patient. Without this virtue, we cannot be successful in this difficulty. Next. What does it mean to be counted worthy of the kingdom of God? Verse 5 and verse 11. It repeats twice about worthy. Right? The worthy of his calling, the worthy of his kingdom. What does it mean, count worthy? I think this verse, let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Give the answer. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. Let's finish this verse before we pray. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. Please read. So in order to be counted worthy for his kingdom or his calling, we must fully please God. Always remember if my action really please God or disgrace God. Second, being fruitful in every good work. Right? So meaning our life must be a testimony. Number three, increase in the knowledge of God. So through reading Bible, we know the Lord Jesus. We have more thorough understanding about gospel, our doctrine. So the knowledge of God. That's why we read Bible, right? Strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power. So we have to have power. A power to overcome our flesh. The power to overcome temptation. Right? The power to overcome the peer pressure. This is all from Lord Jesus Christ. So in this here say we will give thanks to the Father. If we really counted, oh yes, this is what we're supposed to do. And because this is what Jesus predicted and foretold us, we will be persecuted for his name's sake. Then we endure it and we joyfully, right? Ah, yes. We give thanks because we count worthy for his name. Okay. So hopefully this makes us more clear about this chapter 1. And we have more, but we have no time. We'll cover it in the next section. Okay. Let's pray together.